Today we hang out with Dr. Karina Lopez, who is a licensed naturopathic doctor, homeopath, licensed acupuncturist, master herbalist, and an iridologist. She is going to share some wonderful stories with us today of how she's able to combine these to treat her clients. And she will also be chatting with us about potency. Now, that's always such a tricky topic, but yes, today she took it to the next level. I thought I knew all there is to know about potency, but today my thoughts were challenged even further. You can find out more about Dr. Lopez through her website, vitalisthealingtraditions.com. And be sure to check her out on Instagram and Facebook, where she shares some wonderful advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with the vivacious Dr. Karina Lopez from Greece at the moment. Welcome to the show, Karina.
Thank you. Such an honor to be here. I'm so excited to chat. I really love your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really love stalking you on Facebook because you have such interesting videos that you share. And I'm such a nature lover. So I love the information that you share of all your plants, and you have such an intimate relationship with nature. And I love your knowledge. I love your stories. I love the way in which you share it. So I just had to get you on the show, and I'm really excited to get to speak with you.
Oh, well, I'm honored.
Now, you are a naturopathic doctor. Tell me a little bit, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I think what I'm going to do is just kind of throw the question out there. How were you first introduced to homeopathy? And you can just take us on this journey.
I will take you on the journey. And actually, homeopathy was my first real introduction to alternative medicine other than iridology. And so I was in medical school. And I'm a Puerto Rican woman. I was born in the Bronx. I was actually born at the hospital that I went to medical school, which is Albert Einstein. And I would be the first conventional physician of the family. Everybody was so excited. Here I was. And then I started to get sick. And it was beginning with an indoctrination. The indoctrination started with, you go in, there's 100 students. And this physician stood up and said, out of 10,000 applicants, you 100 people are the best of the best. And if anybody doubts your knowledge, why, you know that you know better because you're here. And immediately I said, holy crap, I'm in a cult. And this is scary. And I looked around and everybody suddenly, and now we know, suddenly all of the palladiums and the platinas and the sulfur started to really rise. And everyone's feeling this arrogance. And then I continue in medical school. And then suddenly there's this cardiology class. And the cardiology teacher says, just so you know, in about 10 years of taking a statin, it will actually cause the heart attack. It's supposed to stop. And I said, wait a minute. I went home, I cried all night because it occurred to me that not only are we just giving people medicine like dogs, but we're not giving them the opportunity to even understand what they're taking and how the harm it can cause. And we're just arrogantly thinking they could never change. And this is just a product of what we're going to do. And then the third kind of hair on the camel's back, or the fourth or the fifth, who knows, we had nutrition class. And in the nutrition class, this woman stands up and she says, we have this recommended nutrition class for you all to go to. So come next week. So I came very excited. 10 students out of the 100 came. And she put up the wonderful triangle.
Food pyramid. Oh my God.
To teach us the food pyramid. I lost it. I soon had to become medicated. I was on 7 or 8 different medications. I was depressed. I was anxious. I had eczema. I was doing terribly. I was crying. I was in the worst relationships of my life. And it got so dark that I said, I need help. So I looked online and what I saw was an orthomolecular physician. And I said, orthomolecular medicine, that makes sense. That's vitamins. That's my mind. I just must be crazy. And so I go. She turns out she left orthomolecular medicine a while ago to study and do homeopathy. And I call her up and I said, I need help. I'm going to be a physician one day and I'm going to help people, but I don't have any money. And she said, I'll see you. Her name is Dr. Bonnie Camo. She moved to Italy and now she's back in California. She's written a few books and she became a wonderful mentor of mine. And then suddenly after that, I met an iridologist. And she looked in my eyes and she said, if you stay where you are, you're going to die. She didn't know anything about me. And those were the two alternative practitioners that changed my life.
That's the mic drop. Wow. And then how did you get into natural medicine then? Like, what was your journey from there?
So I did. Don't leave us hanging. They had this alternative medicine program through Albert Einstein where you get to go to a naturopathic college. And that was Bastyr, which is heralded as the best naturopathic college, you know? And I said, guys, I want to leave. I want to go to naturopathic school. And they said, well, we'll only let you go to Bastyr if you want a recommendation from us, because that's the only one that really is of any worth. And I said, I'm not going to Bastyr. Because they are legally prescribing drugs. And I knew that it would still be an indoctrination into that system of this conventional model, which we call green allopathy, which is you have a headache, we give you said herb, not really thinking of the constitution. So I said, what is a school that doesn't have any legal means of giving drugs? And I knew, and I found that school was Bridgeport, Connecticut, which they've now closed, which is a wonderful naturopathic college. But still, I said, still a naturopathic college, which still means that there's a license, which still means that when you have a license, you've had to succumb to certain aspects of the almost making the natural medicine a little bit ingenuine and more allopathic. So I said, I've got to go to a quack school too. So I enrolled in the School of Natural Healing with Dr. Raymond Christopher, which is an online school. And while I was in naturopathic college, I was doing this herbal program and contacting all these far out herbalists and saying, I've got this, you know, this patient who I want to help, and they would help me with herbs. So the course of that time, I said, I've got to do naturopathic college, but this very eclectic herbalism. But it wasn't done yet. I said, still, I need to understand a real ancient understanding of the organs and how they come together, because anatomy and physiology and Western medicine is not giving me that. So then I became an acupuncturist as well, to understand deeply how those organs come together. And then I started to study iridology, and I went and learned with Tony Miller, and now learning with Leonard Mellmauer, who does sclerology, to see how that ties in with these ancient principles. Because when you look at the eye, you're looking at the Native American Indian perspectives, the Ayurvedic perspectives, because they saw the eye, the Chinese perspectives. And then you combine that with Chinese knowledge. And so it became almost this real journey into understanding these different principles. And I went to Belize and I studied with some shaman there. And then I went to India and furthered my homeopathy and finished with Vidulkas. And so really this like soul searching and allowing my soul to come back to me after losing it when I went to medical school.
I'm trying to do the math because you look all of about 20.
I'm 41, thank you very much.
I'm sitting here thinking, how does she fit all this in? That's incredible. What a journey. And it's like synergy, right? Like 1 + 1 = 5, because when you have all these different modalities that you draw on each other, it just gives you such a vast perspective. I always get tempted. I think, oh, I want to go learn kinesiology. I want to go learn acupuncture or this or that. But I tell you what, I'm just still swamped by homeopathy. I just feel like I just like focus the rest of my next 10 lives just on homeopathy. I'm not even going to be able to do that. So I really admire it when people have all these other modalities to draw on, because I do think it does inform your practice so much more, which is incredible. So what does a typical consultation with you look like with all of these modalities? Like, where do you even start? You must have like 10-hour consultations.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, it's programs, right? And so what I like to do, you know, a great example, if you want to really go deep in your homeopathic case, start with iridology. Because like Hippocrates said, the eye is the windows to the soul. So a great example, I saw a woman years ago for hypertension, and she was very close. And this was before I was actively really doing iridology. and I would do acupuncture on her. She would feel better. I felt there was a mental component, so I kind of intuited that. But then recently, we did an iridology, sclerology visit, and the sclera is the now. The iris is sort of your miasm. You know, the colors of your eye tells you your family genetic history. You know, the left is your mom, the right is your dad. But the sclera is the here and now, what's happening today. And she had this huge red discoloration, a thickening in her eye, right in the medial portions and the lateral portions, which represents your heart, your thyroid. And I said, honey, let's look in your eye. This means that there's something very suppressed and very traumatic, and it's affecting your heart. You're deeply heartbroken. You have to tell me, look at the picture of your eye. And she saw that, and seeing that released so much, and she started to cry and cry. And she spoke about her mother who was addicted to drugs. Her father went to jail. Her daughter's now a crack addict. I mean, just so much pain and just, you know, real addiction. And it came out, and suddenly I said, we think of Ignatia. We think of Natrums. We think of the grief remedies. And we open up, and we can open that person to see it within themselves and acknowledge that it's causing the disease, and they need to be upfront to help you. And so that came out.
What an amazing tool. I mean, how does the iridology work? Do you have a machine that you use, or
people
is it just...
use their iPhone, honey?
Really?
You just need your phone. They just take their picture and they send it to me. And it's like after that case, I started to get another case of a woman with the same type of marking. Also, her parents had been drug addicts, prison, her daughter, and their relationship was a mess. And so you start to see these patterns in the eyes, and you start to understand deeper the person. And another example that is really deep and heavy is, let's say you're treating someone with gynecological issues and you're wondering what's going on. And you can understand the difference between guilt or shame or anger based on the signs. So you can really decide, you know, is this sanicula? Is this, you know, thuya? Is this creosotum? Based on understanding it, because they'll see something that will allow them to speak to you.
That is very cool. And I know there's some of the other homeopaths that we've had on the show that are also astrologers, and they will sometimes use that as an in into the case. If they can't get
That's
the person
right.
to open up, they use the astrology
That's
and they'll
right.
say, well, this is showing up in your case. And that is really cool. I mean, I use it on a super basic level. Like, I love that book, The Secret Language of the Body. That's a book that lives on my desk. So if a client has rheumatism or scleroderma or eczema or, you know, pain in the left hip, then I'll look up in that book what the metaphysical meaning of that is, and I'll show it to them. I'll get them to take a photo of it. And there's little things that you would say as well, like a little meditation or something that you would do on that body part to release it.
Absolutely.
But that I sometimes use, or the thyroid, I see so many thyroid problems. So I'll show them that part in the book, and I'll say to them, can you read this and tell me if it resonates with you? And 100% through the bank every single time. My husband had a migraine the other day, and I sent him a screenshot of the migraine section of the book. And he was like, where did you find that? How did you know this? I'm like, it was just in the book.
It's
but that
beautiful.
I often find as a good in as well, hey.
And that's what it's about. It's about, because in the end, it's what the vibration comes to teach us, right? We take these remedies, and I always say there's never a wrong homeopathic remedy, because all of them will charge your vibration on some level. But, you know, of course you want the one that's going to really handle the symptom that's bothering you. But it's all about thinking about how we allow these vibrations to bring our own pure, beautiful souls and natures out into the world to accomplish what we want. I mean, you think about Dr. Edward Bach, and you think about what he was trying to do. And one of my favorite books is his original writings. And it's all about thinking about our souls and their purpose. And you think about his example where he spoke of a child, and this beautiful child draws something for her mother's birthday, but then someone comes in and nitpicks and says, oh, the house should look like this or that. And it takes the child away from their original purpose. And that's what homeopathy does, but also giving someone the strength to understand their pathology and where their responsibility is in order to make those changes. And that's what I do in my programs. It's let's look at your eyes first. That way we can get a wave in. Next, let's do the homeopathy or the opposite. And then let's begin doing different detoxes, because I also studied at the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico and thinking about, and I have a longtime mentor who's a raw foodist who wrote the book on raw foodism, you know, Rio, Hooked on Raw. And so just thinking about different ways, and then people who can't handle raw and where they are, and thinking about macrobiotic diets and this and that. So really finding the diet, the mindset, the introspection, the yoga, the tai chi, the qigong, and that homeopathic remedy to allow that person to free themselves in the deepest of ways.
Speaking of food, it also does help that you're married to a chef. There's your herbalist chef. And how did you two meet?
He's a chef. He calls himself, his name is Saki Samu, a chef and alchemist, because he is deeply ingrained in making the spagyrics. And so spagyrics are when you go out and you find a plant based on the sun, the moon, the stars, and you harvest it at that time. And then you, as you're making the medicine, it's also healing a part of your soul. So, you know, first you add the alcohol and it's so sort of washing away, and then you let it sit, so kind of fermenting within, and then you take it apart and you burn the mark or that herbal matter that's left over, and that's your calcination, and you burn it till it's white, so it's that purification, and then you recombine it with the alcohol, so it's a recombination of the purest elements of your soul to make the medicine within you. And so he does that with food. He does that with his creams and his beautiful, beautiful works. Yeah.
That is really cool. And you said before we started recording, you got married within 3 months.
I sure did. How could I not with this man? And he's Greek and nice and handsome.
It sounds like a good deal. I think I've said it on the show before, but I met my husband a week after we got engaged, a week after we met, and we got married 6 weeks later. So yes,
and you that beat was, me.
Yeah, but it's like it. When you know, hey,
vibration, right?
It really
all
is.
About vibration, and that's just all of life. And just even when you go out and you want to collect a plant, there'll be a bush, and you just don't feel it. Like that Crataegus is this one right here. This is the one that we picked. We loved it. We found it in Filio and we said, yes. Sometimes we'll go to a bush and say, not feeling it. It doesn't feel me. I'm not feeling you. And it's just all about that. One of my good friends, Alicia Cook, she is an elder up in Akwesasne, in all the way up in New York near Canada. And she taught me how to sit with the plants, ask the plant, tell the plant what you'd like to use it for, ask for its permission, give its blessings, thank it, share with it. And so it's just like a human being that you're helping. Do I have permission to help you? Do you want me to help you? It's this constant interaction and vibration.
Amazing. And there are studies to show that plants do respond to human interaction. And
absolutely.
Also, you know, it's all just, everything is just energy. Everything is vibration, just different frequencies. So we're naive to think that plants or animals or the soil or the air or anything is separate from us. It's all just one, right?
It's all just one.
It really is. Can we talk a little bit about potency and repetition of a dose? And you were very brave to put your hand up that this is something you want to talk about. When I saw that in the email, I'm like, oh, you're brave. Because apart from choosing the right remedy, I think potency and repetition is the thing that confuse. I like how you're taking a big sip of water just before you answer this one.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need it. Because that is the thing that gets most homeopaths and also home users. Would be one of the number one questions I get asked is, how often should I use this remedy? What potencies should I use? And I sometimes, like, I'm the same, like, before I have to answer that question, just like, deep breaths. How would you even go about answering that question?
Okay, so I'm going to have to foreshadow this with my work. And so I remember starting, and one of my first mentors, other than Dr. Bonnie Camel, was Dr. Eleanor Hirschberger, Dr. Florence McPherson, very conventional homeopaths, brilliant, brilliant, you know, results, as you would with homeopathy, you know, one dose of Thuja for the whole month and come back, that kind of thing. And so then I remember I was in the Bronx and I met a man named Bob Street. And it was a funny story. You know, I was studying for my boards at the time. This was like close to 10 years ago. And one of my acupuncture mentors was like, "You've got to meet this guy because you're talking about homeopathy all the time. And we're here doing acupuncture and you got to meet him." So I meet Bob, and Bob has been in India working in the Mayur Baba, I guess you would call it the retreat place in India. And there has been a homeopathic clinic that had existed since, I think, 1918, something really old. And so they had original Kentian remedies there and everything. And I went and I said, "Let me go meet him." So I go and I meet him, and he starts to show me these amazing skin pictures. And he shows me this case of vitiligo, completely gone. And I said, "Okay, so what did you use?" And he goes, "Arsenicum CM 4 times a day for about 3 months. And I said, "Did you now?" And he said, "Okay, and what did you use for this case of this crazy ear infection?" "Oh, I think I used a graphitis for the yellow, you know, for the gluey yellow discharge, 50 mg 4 times a day for about 2. Oh, did you now?" So this came on and on. And I was like, "Very interesting. I'm in. I'm going to go to India." And my ex-boyfriend at the time was like, "You just met this guy." I said, "I'm going to India. Peace." So I became Bob's, he's my mentor. And at the time, there was a patient that I saw before I left to India. And she's sitting, she's got lupus. She was just diagnosed. And she was, you know, she had her results, all of this other stuff. And she just can't stop crying. And we talk about her father, who was dealing with all sorts of issues and who passed and blah, 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 blah. And so I said, "Okay, let's give you Ignatia 10 mg 4 times a day. I'm going off to India. See you in 3 months." And so I leave. And then Bob goes, when I get to India, he goes, "Oh, that was a little high." And I'm like, "I'm going to kill her. I'm just going to kill her." He says, "You know, I would have used a 1 mg. And I'm like, "Oh my God." So I can't find her number. And I'm like, "Oh no, this poor woman. Ah." And, you know, and I'm like trying to, like, I hope she'll contact me. You know, I keep my phone on. So then I get back to Connecticut. And at the time, I think she was in Connecticut when I saw her. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But she's like, "All of my symptoms went away. And I went back to the doctor and my blood tests don't show lupus anymore. My joint pain, my face, everything is beautiful." And I said, "We hit the hammer." So I started to use high potencies for things like rheumatoid arthritis and for different types of issues. But with my conversations with Bob, if the person was on medication, if they were very weak, if it was very hot and inflamed, we would use LM potencies instead, of course, daily. But LM, if the person was hardy and strong and hadn't any type of allopathic introduction for that issue, we would go ahead and proceed with high doses. Mm-hmm. And it was the thing that saved me in the Bronx, because I will let you know, working in the Bronx for 10 years, you work by word of mouth, and that's every practitioner. And if the word of mouth is good, people are going to come, and homeopathy is inexpensive. And so people really flooded in. We had a very successful practice in the Bronx, seeing so many different diverse people with real complaints, because we were seeing serious pain, addiction, skin pathology, tumors, all sorts of things. And the beautiful part is that I hear so many homeopaths say things like, "Oh, if this infection is too far gone," or let's say there's a throat infection, or the child has tonsillitis and their surgeon's going to go and it's way ahead, you know, what do we do? I had a child who was 90% blocked, up for surgery in 3 weeks. Done. Burrita carbonica, you know, wow. And just high potency knocked it out. No surgery.
Like tonsils,
needed.
90% blocked. Wow. Amazing.
3 weeks. I used 10 mg 3 weeks for this little baby. Mm. Every day, 3 times a day, 10 mg. 3 weeks, that 96% blockage was gone. child did not need surgery for their adenoid. And so those type of results, I said, you just need, I mean, people are running into surgery, people are running into this, into that. And I said, I can't. Yeah. And so these are risks though, right? These are calculated risks. And so being very, very conscious and with your patient, your client constantly to ask and to see how they're doing is so important. And so it's just that constant communication and knowing who to do that with. Mm.
That's really cool. I have just recently started getting into the mega potencies. So I'm still playing around with them a little bit, but they fascinate the hell out of me. And I've actually had a bit of trouble getting some of the potencies from the homeopathic suppliers over here. So I have got a radionics machine that's arriving soon. So I'm interested to start playing with it. I have been very skeptical of the radionics machines and those remedies for a long time. But then after interviewing Jill Turland on the show and chatting with other homeopaths right. that use them, I'm like, okay, let's give this a try. I mean, I have done so many things in homeopathy now that I always said I will never do. Homeopathic immunization, combination remedies, you know, high potency. I'm just like, I've done it all. So I just feel now, whatever.
Beauty, that's the beauty of growth. And that's the beauty of learning. And with homeopathy, you just never stop learning. And, you know, my key is results. I work with results. Does it take the eczema away? I don't want to hear the child is suddenly, no. You came for the eczema. Is it better? Is the child's asthma gone? Mm-hmm. Is the child's headaches gone? Is the child no longer screaming in the middle of the night? You know, is that combination gone? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I work with. And I think that we have to put ourselves to a standard where do we have that before and after? Not what the physician wants, not what the homeopaths want, what the parent, what the child wants, what the adult wants. What are their goals? Are those met?
Amazing. That's what something I always ask at the end of every consultation. What do you want to get out of today? What do you want to see in 6 weeks' time, 8 weeks' time? What changes do you want to have seen by then? Yeah,
that's right.
I have to ask you as well. So you're in Greece now. What's it like over there? What's homeopathy like? Is it easy enough to get remedies? Do you have to be a physician to practice homeopathy? I haven't had anybody from Greece on the show yet. So what's the scene? What's the homeopathic scene over there?
I mean, technically, I'm not from Greece and I'm Puerto Rican, but I do work online mostly. Mm. I'm just starting to see some Greek people. And so as per the legalities and how that's concerned, I think that usually you have to be a physician or there's people that are kind of doing it under the rug because I don't think there's really any strong legalities against it. I mean, I see people who are practicing and not practicing. But again, I haven't really delved in there because I haven't opened up other than family members or friends or something like that. I haven't really jumped into that pool yet. I'm still sort of coming back from working online because I have my little boy to take care of.
Yeah. Can you find homeopathics in the shops there? Like, do most people in Greece actually know what homeopathy is?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Almost every pharmacy will sell homeopathy. Uh-huh. Now you're going to have trouble getting like a 10M or a 50M.
Yeah.
And so that you'll have trouble with. But a 30C, a 200, a 1M, some 10Ms in popular remedies like your Ignatia, you will find in most pharmacies. Even you'll find little cafes in the middle of nowhere with homeopathic safe tea selections. So it's wonderful in terms of its accessibility versus in America. I mean, really, it's vacant and you'd have to go to specific pharmacies to buy it. It is not like that in Greece. It's really fantastic. And so it is booming. There are a lot of people who practice. What I've heard is usually they are physicians or pharmacists. Maybe there are some laymen, and I'm sure that there are tons of laymen. I just haven't quite met them yet because I studied with Viturkas, and usually the people who are coming from Greece are physicians that are studying Viturkas in Greece. Mm. But I'm sure there's a mix.
Amazing. And tell us a little bit about your program. So you have some programs that I think you do in conjunction with your hubby. I had a quick little look on your website, but what are they and how can people register for them and what is it all about?
And so essentially I do a discovery program. That's my program where people are just trying to discover what's going on with them and receive some form of help. And that's a iridology visit. And then that's followed by a visit with homeopathy or vice versa. And then there's the cooking visit where you're learning about diet based on your personal needs. And then the last, we think about naturopathy, which is a combination of detox or revitalization or using certain things, you know, things like castor oil packs, Epsom salt baths, thinking about organ cleanses, depending what's needed. And so that's a discovery. And then the wellness signature program is a 4-month program. We tend to see people who are more chronically ill for a long time and who really want to invest in something bigger. And it's a combination of those visits, but we're also writing a personalized book for them. So it's a PDF that we insert what homeopathy is, a video about their remedies, why I'm picking these herbs. And so videos about their herbs. So it's almost like this video book that's personalized for them to understand why they're taking this and how it's important sometimes for the rest of their life. Because as we know, certain vegetables, certain fruits, certain herbs, they're important for us. Someone who has a genetic or inherited heart condition should really think about ways to introduce Crataegus in their life. From making things like Crataegus jams to Crataegus syrups to Crataegus oils for their heart. I mean, just beautiful ways to use the medicine symbiotically for the rest of your life. And so the Wellness Signature Program allows that indoctrination and also the tools to use it for the rest of your life, as well as receive the healing benefits.
That sounds beautiful. And it sounds very empowering, because when you understand what the reasons behind why you're using what you're using or why you've been prescribed that, that's very powerful in itself as well. So there's that intention there behind what it is that you're doing, which is really cool.
Yeah, there is that intention. And I feel just having worked in the Bronx and seeing the vast amount of starvation in terms of understanding what alternative medicine is, just the right foods, just these, all of these things are so important to be taught. I mean, I'll just give an example. I was in Belize as a medical student. And at the time I was already sort of, I had visited the homeopath and the iridologist, and I was making ways to get out. And I was in the sort of this long line, and I was interning at the hospital. And on this long line, there was this one woman, and she was blind, and her daughter was holding her hand. And I said, "What are you coming in here for?" And she said, "Hold 1 minute, I'm hungry." And her daughter gave her, "Here, mama," and gave her a donut to eat. And she said, "Well, I'm diabetic." She was blind because of her diabetes was so severe. And I said, "Did anybody tell you you shouldn't eat sugar?" She says, "No, but I come for my once a month insulin shot."
Oh, wow.
And that stood with me for life. And that moment on, I went to the local shaman and I said, how do I help them? What do I do? And she said, take okra. So I would stand and I would say, like, okra is great for the ovaries and it's helpful for constipation and the mucilage. And I was online teaching people in Belize how to use their own medicine. And they looked at me and they said, "But you're an American. Why are you using that? We throw that out. What you're using is better because of this indoctrination of Western is better." And so I stood there as a Westerner, an American, saying, no, what you're doing is better. Stick to that. And that stood with me because I realized that that starvation isn't only in Belize. It's also in the Bronx and in so many of the ghettos. And that's why I do the teaching more than anything else now.
That is very, very cool. Where can people learn more about you and come and join me in stalking you and watching your incredibly cool videos that you do? I mean, I just love it when you're out in nature and you're engaging with all these plants. It's really exciting. I'm trying to think, was it you that, oh no, it was somebody else. Somebody posted today of their router that's come up in their garden. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And Paul Theriot that I had on the podcast in Canada, he went on a walk the other day and he's just posted a picture of a pulsatilla flower out in the wild. So we're like just seeing these plants out. It's really cool. It makes me really happy. And seeing the Crataegus, the hawthorn berry that you've got behind you, for our listeners that are watching on YouTube, you'll see this. But just seeing that out there, just engaging with those plants, seeing those plants, it makes it all come alive. So where can people come and stalk you?
Well, Instagram, you can go to Vitalist Healing Traditions, Facebook, Vitalist Healing Traditions, Karina Lopez Tamu. I mean, my personal one is a mixed bag for everyone. Also, I'm on TikTok. My husband is Vitalist Healing Cuisine. on Instagram and on YouTube, and on Vida's Healing Traditions on YouTube as well. But I would say that the Instagram is and the Facebook is the most kept up with everything.
And vitalisthealingtraditions.com
is my website. Yeah.
Excellent. It was so cool to hang out with you, Karina. Is there any final message that you want to leave our listeners with?
Begin listening to your intuition. Begin trusting yourself with everything you do, whether it's picking the right water in the supermarket, whether it's picking your friends, your life, your choices. Feel it good in your heart, and then that's how you'll find the key to living your life in a healthy, beautiful way.
Imagine that we teach kids that from in school. Imagine that's all the life lesson they'll ever need to know. Just trust your intuition. Everything else will be okay, literally.
Right? It's true. I mean, look at the animals. They trust their intuition. And when an animal doesn't, they die. Mm. And so many of us are foregoing our own individualization, our journeys, our life, our growth, because of our attachments to feelings that they wouldn't be loved if they followed their soul's purpose. And so following your soul's purpose is really what homeopathy and these therapies are all about, allowing the person to feel well enough to bring their creative joy to the world, to heal our world.
Another mic drop. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It was heaps of fun, and I really look forward to continue stalking you on Instagram and Facebook. And
stalking you, by the way.
Mutual stalking appreciation club.
Absolutely.
Give your little one a huge big cuddle from me.
I will.
All the best, and thank you so much for today.
Thank you.